you're looking for a comic book, listen up before you take a look. On the shelf or on the rack, should you bag it or browse it or put it back?
Fans like us have a lot to say.
Here's It Came Out on Wednesday.
Yeah. Hello and welcome to another It Came Out on Wednesday.
Yay. We're back.
The most exciting time of the week.
That's right.
For everybody, especially you out there.
That's right.
Yeah, don't forget it. This week, if you couldn't tell by his lovely, raspy voice, we
Hello,
have Kevin.
Hello, Jake.
Yes. We've all been passing around some sort of sickness around the office this week, so.
But not really.
Not really. Well, yeah. But Kevin, yeah, Kevin's trying in denial about being sick.
Yeah, so. Yeah. We soldier on with cough drops.
And yeah, we soldier on. We super soldier
and
on.
And tea, even. Yeah. Lots of tea this week.
Lots of tea, yes. It's a very tea-heavy week.
Oh, yeah, with the weather, too. Oh,
I know. It's been terrible.
But it's been a good week for comic books.
I know, right?
A great week for comic books.
Especially on the app.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's go right into what came out on the app.
This week.
Yeah. So up first is the First 13.
All right. Captain America and the First 13 was a new day and date, same day digital, whatever you want to call it. It came out the same day on our app. As it did in print, and it was a really, really cool story about Cap in one of his World War II adventures in Nazi-occupied France, and possibly one of his first loves.
Ooh!
So it was cool. It's kind of got that spy espionage thriller.
What is Captain's like girlfriend's name now? Like Carol.
Oh, not Carol Danvers.
No,
but,
not Carol Danvers.
Sharon.
Sharon sounds like Carol to me. They look the same. They're blonde. Whatever.
Yeah, they are. They're close.
Swap their outfits, and I won't even know the difference.
Yeah. This Captain America and the First 13 is just way cool. Kind of back winding the clock back to Cap and World War II again, and it's so cool to kind of see him in France and sort of part of the resistance, and he meets this girl who's also sort of part of the resistance, and they fight for sort of the underground, and it's really cool. It's not so much. Trench warfare and Cap sprawling over the battlefields and everything, but more like, you know, urban guerrilla fighting and stuff.
Do they draw him like what's his name? Who's playing him?
You know what? Sort of. And I think, yeah, there's definitely been more of a...
Chris Evans?
Yeah, Chris Evans. But I think the artists and things on a lot of these new Cap books are maybe been inspired by or been told to be inspired by... the upcoming feature film adaptation, but it's still a good story. But way, way cool to check out this week, and it's something you can totally get on the app and in print. So.
Yeah, so buy them both. Yep. Why don't you?
Have
I mean,
keep,
you know, just live
to
a little bit. You know,
read.
Yeah. Try and stimulate the American economy
definitely,
by buying Captain
definitely.
America books in several formats. What else we got? We got
The Walking Dead 82.
Ooh, Walking Dead 82.
Yeah, after a huge sale from all of our Walking Dead trades this past week. If you got to take advantage of that, then good for you.
Yeah.
If you didn't get to take advantage of it, you know what? Stay tuned on with our blog and Twitter and
read your emails.
Yeah,
we send you emails about this stuff. So
yeah, definitely.
Don't spam us.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you won't get the goodies.
That's right. That's
like
right.
Spam. But spam is so good. Yeah.
This was a huge sale.
It was super huge. But So The Walking Dead 82.
Right, The Walking Dead 82.
Yeah, it was so exciting this week.
It was good.
I was really, really, really blown away by it,
And you really want to know, like, what the deal is, what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that excitement in the series is sort of back, which after a little while now, I kind of felt it wavered a bit. But
yeah, there's a couple of great moments in it, especially, like, just right at the beginning.
Yeah.
But, so we have that. That's day and date.
Mm-hmm.
Also, day and date this week is Justice League Generation Lost.
Yeah.
And it's so if you couldn't tell by the cover, and if you couldn't tell from the last couple weeks of spoilers, I'm sure. Blue Beetle's dead.
What? No, yeah, just kidding.
Spoiler alert! Yeah. You've had a month,
I mean.
He's dead. This issue has been it's very reflective of everything that's happened. Everybody's like, oh, I'm such a failure, blah, blah, blah. And Booster Gold, of course, you know, is one of his many, like, downward spirals.
Booster Gold?
Yeah, Booster Gold. I love Booster Gold. I like Skeets a lot, though, too.
Yeah.
Skeets is, like, one of my favorite characters. I always hear him as Justice League Unlimited voice, which is...
That was the first time I ever saw Booster Gold.
That was Billy West.
In that show. Oh yeah, wait, yeah. That's way cool. But that show first introduced me to the character Booster Gold, and I was like, "That's a cool character." And saw the comics, and then he was in 52. And
yeah, I knew about Booster Gold before Justice League.
Yeah, see, I didn't.
Yeah, but there were a lot of characters I didn't know about until Justice League.
Right, right.
Like Hawk Woman.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, all those B-listers and everything. But they're getting their chance to shine, which is so cool about so much. So the direction comics is going in and everything.
Yeah, totally.
But also out on the app this week, because we don't want to talk too much on just Generation Lost. But also, Power Man and Iron Fist number 1 came out this week, which came out in print a few weeks ago.
Yeah, a few weeks ago.
But so that's a fairly recent issue we've got going on. Some of you guys may have already read it in print. Some of you guys who are loyal digital consumers, now's your chance. Definitely check it out. It's a new take. A new Power Man is sort of teamed up with Danny Rand to.
So wait, it's not Luke Cage.
No.
That's weird. How do you become Power Man? Like, does he have the exact same origin story? Please say no.
No, he's a younger kid, and he has like a suit. It's like a special suit.
It's a special suit.
Too much
is
away.
Is it the tiara? It's the tiara that gives him the strength. I knew it was the tiara all along.
It may, maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
I mean, you know, sure, you know, Luke Cage may have had one of those stories where he took out the tiara and he realized he had the strength after all along, and it wasn't really the tiara, whatever. But I think it's all on the tiara.
Definitely.
I mean, whenever I wear a tiara, I get really strong. I feel very tough.
Right, right.
It's absolutely the toughest I ever feel. I feel like Power Man. In my tiara, yeah.
Right. So,
speaking of Power Man.
Yeah, speaking of,
we also have RoboCop number 1.
Oh, that's right. And
RoboCop
mean,
number 2. RoboCop we, number yeah, 2 was, we, was the one that came out this week.
We launched
we've had RoboCop 1.
Really cool.
Lot of stuff in the news about that with Detroit like trying to make a
splash. Oh, yeah, yeah. That I mean, I, honestly, it's a cool idea. But let's be serious. A RoboCop statue would last all of 3 minutes in downtown Detroit before someone came along and
vandalized
like,
it.
Yeah,
yeah, that's.
But,
true. I was gonna say, like people take these things seriously.
Yeah,
like back
yeah.
in Iowa, where I grew up, if you go over to a certain town, which I suddenly can't remember, you'll see a statue of Captain Kirk, and it says the future birthplace of James T. Kirk.
That's wild.
It's a real statue.
You know what New York City needs?
What?
A statue of the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Oh.
That's all I'm going to say. Anyways, RoboCop 1, 2, and 3 are out and available on our app, with 2 and 3 sort of being this week's new additions. And we've also got a really, really cool anthology. Well, the first two issues of a really cool anthology from the good folks at digitalwebbing.com, which is a really fun comic website for especially, you know, if you're interested in creating comics and you know, if you're an artist or writer or, you know, whatever, you just like comics. It's a way cool website to definitely check out. And they in their own way, have been able to produce comics and sort of create their own banner to distribute comics under. So this week we've got Digital Webbing Presents, both issues 1 and 2. And they're just way cool anthologies of, you know, really fresh talent kind of coming out of this community, this web community.
Yeah, it's the first time we've had digital webbing in a long time, too. We haven't seen digital webbing since the last Blood Rain we put out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and Blood Rain, which the series was really – I really like the series. Like, normally people think of the bad movies and everything like that. But digital webbing really had something special when they did the Blood Rain
stuff.
Yeah,
definitely.
Like, the books are really cool. So yeah, digital webbing is definitely somebody to check out. Especially if you're like, if you want to see new talent,
crop
up. Yep. So totally check them out. Oh, show.
That's right.
Yeah, and look at that nice Comixology ad in the back of each book. Oh, that's us.
That's right. And I mean, those issues are only like $1.99, so you get.
Yeah, exactly.
I think.
You could either put a double stack burger at Burger King in your mouth for that, or buy a comic book.
That's right.
You know,
that
you fatties,
right.
yeah. Don't buy those. buy books.
what
you can't
said.
Eat what you can't hold in your hand.
That's right.
That's our motto here.
Please don't eat your iPad.
Yeah, please don't. So yeah, all of these books you can see a full list of at comixology.com/digital, or you can read all books except for Marvel on comics.comixology.com.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
So yeah, I mean, digitally, it's been a fantastic week.
Yep.
But on the stands.
On the stands, it's been a good week as well. We've got
it's been a pretty solid
stuff.
I think it's been a pretty solid week. There are some things I'm a little like.
Lots of good reading material out for all this nasty weather we've been having.
Right, exactly.
Spend indoors.
So why don't we start off with your pick of the week?
My pick of the week?
Yeah, we're going to do picks of the week.
That's right. My pick of the week is actually Venom number 1.
Okay.
Which I really, really liked and really enjoyed. I mean, there's been a lot of sort of backup stories and smaller things. And this is, you know, a spinoff of Dan Slott's Spider-Man Brand New Day run and the new Flash Thompson that's...
Are you doing that so you don't mess up your hair?
Maybe.
Kevin has very, very pretty hair.
Yeah, that's right.
But in order to save your hair, you have to make the headphone falls off. But anyway, Flash Thompson.
Yeah, Flash Thompson's out. He who also has pretty nice hair, but not when he's.
But not very good legs. Yeah. His legs are terrible. Yes.
You went there.
You quadriplegics,
okay.
Watch out for me.
Kick you. Venom number 1, Rick Remender and Tony Moore kind of teaming up. They do some cool stuff, like kind of unexpected for what's been going on in the Spider-Man stories with Venom. But here is Flash Thompson in action. He's on the battlefront trying to save a lot of civilians that have been caught in this sort of supervillain terrorist attack.
Yeah.
And it's
Jack-O-Lantern, who we haven't seen for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, and I didn't realize he wasn't a joke villain.
Right. He's definitely. I mean, it's all in how he's portrayed, and in this particular issue, he's something of a badass, I guess.
He's pretty badass, and he's not like he's crazy, but he's like the one thing I really don't like about a lot of comic books, especially when it comes to like the villains, is that they're so crazy, but they're all the same kind of crazy.
Right.
Like they all try to emulate the Joker, but Jack-O-Lantern, I think, is really good because he. Is crazy, but he's not crazy because he's chaotic. He's crazy because he has a worldview in mind.
Yeah,
it's a very strong point.
Yeah, and he's an interesting foible character to sort of go up against this new hero Venom.
Yeah,
as a guy that's definitely pushing Venom's buttons, which isn't such a good thing for Flash Thompson, but It's interesting how it plays out, and this first issue really sets up a lot of cool stuff that I can't wait to see what happens.
You know, the one thing I really didn't like about this, about Venom, that would have kept it from being my pick of the week, was the last two pages.
The last two pages.
He's suddenly like at Betty's house, and she accuses him of alcoholism, which... He was an alcoholic in the 80s, and I'm surprised it's not one of the things that got wiped out with the whole Mephisto thing.
Oh, yeah, good point.
But then he's going, like, they try to portray him as an alcoholic now. Mm-hmm. Like, he rides pet, he's, like, about to go get a drink, and there's, like, a wheelchair, and he's, like, talking about how there's a wheelchair ramp at the bar, but not at the church where the Alcoholics Anonymous meeting is.
Yeah.
And it was, but this whole thing, the reason it's so weird, it's just so out of left field. Like, he's getting yelled at by some officer in the army. Mm-hmm. And then Betty? He's at Betty's house all of a sudden? It's just very – it was a very jarring thing.
Well, yeah. But he's like a high-tech version of Spider-Man. This kind of stuff happens to Peter Parker all the time. Like, Betty wants to know where Flash Thompson's been.
You actually make a very good point, because he has to have the secret identity with the army and everything.
Right.
But you do make a very good
point.
That he is mirroring Peter Parker's, like, sort of Spider-Man life.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that he doesn't have legs.
Okay, that's true.
Yeah, Peter Parker has legs.
That's right. What's your pick of the week, Jake?
What is my pick of the week? My pick of the week is going to have to be Batman and Robin.
Okay.
100% cool. Batman and Robin.
All right.
Holy crap. This was an awesome issue.
Yeah, it was.
Let me just tell you folks how awesome this was. Patrick Gleason's art, first of all. I don't know what it is. Like he makes everything so pretty. Like and especially with all this light. I love I don't understand what the whole obsession with light is though. Like he only does books that are based off of, like, you know, light things. Like, there's this whole villain named the White Knight.
Right.
He's like a big white.
Is he a new villain? Okay.
He seems new. I think he's new. I mean, he is new because right. Batman doesn't know him, so he
right.
must be new.
I mean, I don't know him, and I'd like to think I'm well versed in Batman, but. Yeah.
But he's definitely new.
Yeah.
Peter Tomasi though, I don't know, I always thought he was like this great foil to Geoff Johns. Or not foil.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I used the wrong word.
All right.
I'm thinking like heroes and villains. No. He was this great like
sidekick
to, okay. Thank you. He was a great sidekick to Geoff Johns. Like he yeah. wrote like him. And you know, he almost emulates if Geoff Johns was Batman, then Patrick Gleason was Dick Grayson, and now Geoff Johns is Batman, and Tomasi was Dick Grayson, and now Tomasi is Batman also.
Okay,
because he blew this book out of the park. He took Grant Morrison's momentum mm-hmm. and really like he really kept going
yeah,
in the same
really,
direction
yeah,
with
definitely
with, especially with the characters with I mean Dick Grayson is so fun
yeah
and he's like he has a very specific and distinct voice from Bruce Wayne
right
which is like which was something I mean I've said this before it's something I've been really 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 afraid of happening with Dick Grayson is that they were gonna have the same voice it was gonna be
definitely.
The Batman voice but Dick Grayson like. And he's just such a great. It's funny because the way that Robin was always kind of the lighter voice
mm-hmm.
to Batman
is completely switched around.
It's switched around.
Yeah,
Robin
definitely.
Is like this curmudgeon of a 10-year-old,
and he's so like Paul Cornell was the right had a brief arc that he did right before
yeah.
Tomasi took over, in between sort of Grant Morrison and Peter Tomasi here, and that was a great. Little story arc on its own. Some really cool stuff was going on there, but this seems more like important things are starting to happen again that are gonna shape what's going on all across the Batman spectrum. And that
yeah, I mean, it, like the story itself is pretty like we get from the last issue was very. I mean, it was all set up. I mean, it was just like you know setting the tone, setting up all this stuff.
Yeah.
Now we have like. The meat of the story,
right.
like we find out who the White Knight is.
Right, right.
We find out what his plan is, and we see these really kind of gruesome scenes, mm-hmm. like and we like these like really like that.
Almost,
that
yeah, like Detective Comics level gruesome, right?
Yeah, like it's pretty neat. And but I love it. The other thing I wanted to say about Dick and the difference between Dick and Damian is that like. While Dick is lighthearted and Damian is more of a curmudgeon, they're still like mature and like you know childish. Because I mean that scene where they're looking at the peregrine falcons and like Damian, I love the scene of Damian yawning.
Yeah.
That panel is. I mean, that's a great panel.
There's a great instance and a little scene in there where they're back at the Batcave and Alfred, I think, says to Damian like, "You have the makings of a fine detective, Master Damian." And then Damian's like. Fast forward, Pennyworth. I am a good detective, and that's
yeah.
just like
I know it's
so
totally
snarky for a 10-year-old boy.
It's but. Super snarky, and it's just it's so he's so good. Tomasi is so good at like just really defining voices. Like he
yeah.
was really good in Green Lantern Corps with giving Kyle a better voice than he had because he was kind of the generic. He became the generic Lantern.
Yeah, right.
When
yeah.
He filled Hal's shoe, becoming the generic Lantern.
Yeah.
But he really gave a distinct voice to him. He really gave great voice to Guy. I mean, Guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, this is like great. We have to. We're going to keep sticking along with it, and
yeah,
I really like it. So speaking of things that involve characters of light. That
yeah.
doesn't work as a good segue. But we're moving to the lightning round,
okay,
is
lightning
what I'm
round.
Getting out.
Pew,
but,
pew, pew.
Yes.
That's all the segue we need. Pew,
yes.
pew, pew.
Bag it, browse it, or burn it. First up on our beloved segment, we have the all-new Wonder Woman.
Yeah, 608.
608.
Thanks, BJ.
Yes, where we see the aftermath of the new Cheetah
right.
and Artemis. And what was it, Giganta?
Mm-hmm.
After they attack the Themyscarian, like
their safe house. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's the best way to call it. No more lions.
I give this a browse it, but okay. I'm very. Wait, how about you?
I would say browse it as well. Actually, now that I think about it,
yeah, I really don't. I mean, the problem with this book is that it doesn't. I don't know. I don't feel like it knows where it's going.
Right. Yeah. Well.
Like, and also, there's a lot of. I feel like the thing is, I feel like this was supposed to be a Earth One story.
Right. Right.
Like, or is it Earth Two? Is it Earth One?
It's Earth One. Is this new Superman thing they've come out with? And
because it feels like an idea. Like this was supposed to be. This was an idea he pitched for Earth One, but they were like, "Oh, we don't want to invest the money into it." And he's like, "Well, why don't you write it into the story?" And I'm like. I don't know. It seems really like everything seems really stupid.
It does seem odd that she, like this is Wonder Woman and they're throwing her around like she is a little girl.
Yeah, and
she
like,
is Wonder Woman. She is the leader of the Amazons. Unless I've been mistaken. I mean, you put her in a Justice League book and she's that confident leader of everything.
Yeah. The other thing about the story is that it's like it feels like. Since I'm imagining it's been pretty unsuccessful. So I feel like they're rushing through the story.
Yeah.
It feels like it's jumping from point to point to point to point way too fast. Like, I mean, God, where were we? We were over in Greece at one point, right, and now we're back here in America. And we have we're being introduced to the new versions of these, you know, classic Wonder Woman villains. We're introduced to these new villains too, the Morrigan, which we know nothing about them, and we know very little about them anyway. We've seen a little bit of them, but we know like pre this storyline,
right.
We know nothing, and I don't know. It's just
and also
they're stupid. I don't like them at all. Like right. They don't make sense. Like as like they throw. I don't know who they are. They're not threatening to me. They're just dumb women.
Yeah. Now, and at the end of that issue, who is that guy? I mean, let me rephrase that question. Is that someone that people will recognize if they know who it is?
Are you kidding?
I don't know
who that is?
I have an idea maybe, but
– Spoiler, everybody. Okay. It's Dr. Psycho.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And he doesn't sleep or whatever, right? Is that his whole
– No. He's just – Psycho. He doesn't blink or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, that's Dr. Psycho. Come on.
I thought
he's a tiny, tiny man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But why is he in a Wonder Woman story?
He's a Wonder Woman. He's actually a Wonder Woman villain, classic Wonder Woman villain.
Oh, then I'm thinking of a completely different doctor in the DC universe.
Yeah, which doctor do you think? Dr. Sivana?
Dr. Fate. I don't know
Dr.
why.
Fate? Oh. Dr. Fate's not a villain.
Yeah, I know. That's why I thought it was kind of weird. All right. I don't know.
Anyway, let's move on to something you know a lot about.
Yeah.
Yes. Cinderella.
Oh, that's right.
I give it a bag it.
I say bag it as well. It was a good second issue in this new limited series, sort of spinning off from the main Fables
franchise.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, in this one we get more. We get a little bit more of her past relationship. We get a lot of flashbacks. It's like half flashbacks, half like, you know, real time. I really like it. I really like the fact that it feels not super fable-y. Like it's definitely like a spy story. But then there are like all these tiny little elements. Like there's like only two fable-y elements where there's like a dragon at one point and then this thing at the end.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's just like a fun trekking spy story, and I mean the art is kind of meh. That's my only regret.
Well, I like the art, but
I like the art too. I like how they make her look. She looks like she's been traveling around a lot.
Oh yeah,
but she has like she looks like you know done up right. She kind of looks like Buffy actually. She kind of looks like Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Really?
Yeah. Do you see that?
Oh, and I do, especially
I didn't really notice. Like it looks like a halfway between how the cover artist for the Buffy book is and the interior artist is, which I mean it works out well. I kind of like it. Wait, this is the same artist, I think. Maybe that's why.
Oh.
maybe that's why they look
that
so much alike.
Could be.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it was really fun. It's a really fun story. And this time it might have a little bit more to do with what's going on in Fables, because that was my regret with the last one. Is that like it had no real lasting impact. Like it was like meh.
Right, right. Although it does seem, I mean, with what's going on in the major excuse me, with what's going on in the major Fable story right now, it seems odd that she's even able to branch out and travel the world without certain villains coming immediately after. That would be totally out of place in this book. But taking it out of that and looking at it on its own, it's a solid story, and it seems to be shaping up into a really cool miniseries.
Yeah, I mean, I wish, you know, there are other characters that I wish would have their own miniseries.
Yeah.
I wish, like, Pinocchio would have his own miniseries.
That'd be way cool. Way.
Or, you know.
Even, I mean, I'm surprised they didn't, like, Ambrose, you know, the Frog Prince. Why didn't he
get his own?
Yeah,
like they did that two part story with
right,
him,
right,
you know, but, where it was like all about him. But meh.
And they, yeah, that's true. They did. I mean, they did have a whole arc at one point dedicated to his adventure, which was a great yeah. Series story.
That
arc,
was it was a great. Prince. Oh my god, that was like one of my favorites. It was oh,
further so, proof that he could sustain his own like ongoing series, like Jack of Fables. Or
yeah.
Something.
If anybody deserves a series less, it's Jack. But that, I do love that series all the same. I can't wait for that last issue.
Yeah.
somebody else, a kind of spin-off character who got his own series, Superboy.
Yeah.
Is he a spin-off character? He's not really a spin-off
well,
character.
Well, kind of.
I mean,
he's
whatever.
A clone.
He's a clone, yeah.
Clones are like spin-off characters, but for
yeah.
real.
Yeah. That's true.
Except they – I don't think we've ever had a real life person. Close.
Yeah,
in our universe.
No, not in our universe, but in Earth, on you know, in the other universe. What designated Earth
there,
are we? Are we Prime?
No, there is a, but there it's out there, and I can check.
Oh, okay. That makes me sad.
yeah, I don't know, but
yeah. So Superboy, I give a browse it. I'm like, it was a high browse it though.
Yeah, I would say bag it because there's a lot of this is a cool sort of. Standalone type of issue, even if you were interested at all in Superboy but don't want to read it regularly.
Yeah.
The main idea in this issue is there's a race between Superboy and Kid Flash, two of the Teen Titans. And that seems – I feel like that's been done before with like Superman and the Flash and things like that. And that seems like a kind of gimmick type of thing with, oh, for one issue, these guys are going to race around the world and have – this zany adventure or something might happen, something might go wrong while they race. But in this issue, in addition to that going on, there's a lot more also going on that's been happening in the Superboy story and in a lot of that Teen Titans stuff too that's been so good. So it's cool to get sort of a break from that and just
– Yeah, I mean all along this book was supposed to be and this was something Jeff Johns wanted, you know, it was supposed to be the lighter-hearted book. Like,
yeah.
It was, like, where Superman had a lot of serious stuff. Like, Superboy was supposed to be all about, like, you know, kind of more just, like, old-school sort of stories. Like, where the stakes weren't super high, but,
that.
Like, and the darks weren't so dark.
Yeah, yeah. I did
it's really
cool.
That. My only complaint is I really, really, really don't like some of the art.
Oh yeah.
Like people look cross-eyed too often. The color like it's the same colorist as the guy who did also Superman. Who is that again? Who's the colorist? Look on the credits really quick.
The colorist is I actually don't think he's listed.
Oh really?
Because I remember looking for this information earlier. But and couldn't find it.
You're not gonna find it?
Because DC's been actually doing this weird thing lately where they don't have, like, a recap or title page, which I think comes –
Well, they've never had a recap page.
Really? But they never – well, a lot of their books, I think, you know, they don't even have any kind of, like, introductory page. Whereas in a Marvel book, looking at Venom number one here, you've got classified – information on Flash Thompson, but in every DC other, in every other DC, and I think that comes from their $2.99 drawing the line.
Yeah, I wish they would do that recap page.
Sometimes it's helpful.
Yeah, it's helpful, especially because sometimes. But Marvel, like, well, on one hand, it would be useful, especially because, like, I missed, I think, an issue of Superboy.
Yeah, so I found it. Jamie Grant is the colorist.
Jamie Grant, thank you. In Marvel books, I think they've been abusing the recap page because they've been putting information that, like the information that you would have missed. I think they put in the recap page, like, it was their fault. Like, the artist and the writer have, it's their job to portray the information that they want to, like, any information that should be there should be easily seen, or, you know, or if it's, like, something you're supposed to interpret, you know, it's supposed to be obvious you're supposed to interpret it. But the recap page they've been using to, like, tell things that, like, were, I don't even know how I was supposed to notice what was in that last issue. Anyway, but that we're not talking about that. We're talking about Superboy. So, Jamie Grant. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's the right colorist for this book.
Yeah.
It looks very, like, it worked really well for Grant Morrison. Here, it looks, everybody looks really shiny.
Right.
And I don't like it very much.
That works really well in All-Star Superman, which was written by Grant Morrison and drawn by Frank Quitely.
Did I say?
You said Grant Morrison as if Jamie Grant had colored Grant Morrison pictures or something. But yeah, it almost looks like that same kind of color scheme from All-Star Superman.
Yeah, but, and I mean, like, it's cool. Everybody looks so doll like.
Very dull.
It's like that's my only regret. But otherwise, it was like a really, really fun story. Yeah. Definitely, like, it's definitely worth a read. Great stuff with the Teen Titans and everything.
Right.
It was good. One book that didn't come out this week that I really want to talk about because it was a lot to take in, so it deserved 2 weeks of reading, was Comic Book Comics number 5.
Oh, yes.
Twin.
And that'll probably be out on the app soon. I mean, we've got
got the other one. We've got the 4. You know, where it'll be coming out in the app at some point. The reason I want to talk about it is because it's a really amazing book. It's like the reference guide for anybody who wanted to know anything about comic book history. It's so detailed. It's so. I think it's perfectly opinionated.
Right.
Just not too opinionated, but just the right amount of opinion, especially
it's just the facts, you know. But the facts presented in a way that isn't so cut and dry. And I was fortunate enough to attend a talk that Fred Van Lente gave about creating this particular issue and a lot of the legal history behind comic books and everything. And they really know their stuff. They really did their research on it and hired a legal partner to actually come and verify facts. And I can't even imagine what those kind of documents and how many of those were involved in creating this sort of comic book version of the history of comic books.
Yeah, I mean, there's so – it's so dense with information. I mean, but like things that are so – and they present in such an interesting way.
Right.
And tell – like they tell these like they were like comic book stories.
Yeah.
I mean that's why it's called comic book comics.
Right.
But I mean like the stuff with – like the whole history of Superman – like, now I have, like, a real new perspective on that. Like, because, you know, I was with the whole, you know, when the whole Superman trial was going on where the heirs to the Siegel – was it Siegel or Schuster? Whichever one. We're fighting for the rights of Superman and Superboy. Yeah. I was like, those greedy bastards. And I was totally on that bandwagon. And after reading this, I'm like, how could I ever have thought that, you know? Right. Basically, it's like all corporations are bad, and they will take – you know, if you're an artist, they will try and take your money.
I mean, yeah, they – I think they used to be bad. There's a lot that it's
a lot
those
good,
trials yeah. that came in the past that have now paved the way for a lot of the stability for a creator today.
Yeah, and I mean, but, like, the nice thing about today is that, you know, it's the people – it's the fans of yesterday that are now – you know, a lot of the heads of the companies
today.
Right,
right.
And I mean, it really makes a difference legally, you know, in how artists are treated. But there's still a lot of corporate people who don't understand, you know, the industry and artist way.
Right. So. Like they – I mean, to briefly talk about the issue, and not giving it too much away that was in it. There's yeah. a he.
I mean, spoiler alert! Right. Don't read any history books or anything.
They
like that.
they talk about at one point the like artists actually getting their pages back and or whether or not they were getting their pages back because these publishers were keeping a lot of their these proofs and these comic book pages in warehouses and just throwing them away when after these artists were done with it and somehow. That got leaked onto the convention scene, and so a lot of times they these vendors that you might see out at cons and things that are selling these like Jack Kirby original sketches and stuff like that, they may not have actually paid for them and are selling them to you for like $300-$400. Not all vendors are like that by any means, and that's yeah, probably not even so much going on anymore or as badly as it was. Uh-huh. But there's a really cool issue. Like, I guess at one point Marvel. Moved a bunch of their proofs and original pieces from this old warehouse that was in a really shady area, I think in the Bronx or something. They moved a huge stock of that into their own like corporate House of Ideas headquarters, and then that mysteriously disappeared somehow. And that's an interesting story that it, like actually happened, and no one knows where this art went. But in the comic, it's portrayed as like Dr. Octopus. Reaching one of his octopus arms through this like into this editor's office and swiping a box of art.
And yeah, it's just so funny to read about how like devious some of these like these bigwigs of the companies were.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, if you like a little nonfiction mixed with like you know fictional pictures, give Comic Book Comics to read. Definitely,
that's right.
It's like it's totally worth a read. I can't. Recommended enough. It's like one of my favorite comic books ever, and I mean, like, there's only one issue left. So if you're waiting for the trade, this I waited for issue 5 for months. So we'll see how long you have to wait.
Issue,
but definitely get it.
Yeah.
If you go to your local comic book store, look for it.
Right.
All right. Well, you know, it was a good week.
I think so. Good week. Hopefully, hopefully we can get back here next week and not.
Yeah. Well, next week actually is C2E2, folks.
Oh, that's right.
So
yay!
I will be doing a podcast from C2E2.
Yay, Jake.
We'll be talking to a couple different creators, whoever we can find.
Yeah, that's right.
So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, we shall be doing a duo.
Yep.
For now, I'm Jake.
And I'm Kevin.
And we're gonna read comic books.